from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This hour is brought to you by Jewel Osco.
The Bernstein and Holmes Show.
We're talking with Mike Farron. We had a texter who said, hey, whatever you do, play ELO as he's coming in. You've got some sort of allergy to Jeff Lynne?
I just am not an ELO fan. They can take Billy Joel out back and they can all run away.
Billy Joel catches a stray.
No, that's not catching a stray.
What the did I do to you, man?
Billy Joel is like, I would rather take shots at Billy Joel before I take shots at the Eagles.
You know there's a whole Billy Joel channel.
We don't talk about that, Dan.
We do not speak his name.
My wife is a New Jersey native and a huge fan, and I didn't believe her.
Do we have to have an intervention with your wife to let her know what good music sounds like?
I'm just saying.
Probably. There's one comedian that does an incredible whole set on Piano Man.
Boy, I don't like that song. I'm not knocking anyone that likes it. I'm just saying I'm not a fan, okay? Just because I had an epiphany once listening to it, I was like, this guy's just singing about how good he is.
I'm such a good piano player.
Like, that song should just be called I'm Awesome at Piano.
His whole body of work is self-congratulatory. You're selling records. Like, what? Congratulations, you've made it. Thanks for rubbing it in, jerk.
What am I doing in this horrible bar with these losers? La da da da, I'm awesome. I don't belong here. I'm singing sweet music to drunks. Davey, still in the Navy. You know what I mean? Like, that's what that song is saying.
It's still rock and roll to me.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
That was a fun vibe with Mike Farron yesterday, and it all starts to make sense now that because he mentioned that he was a rock and roll DJ. He was a classic rock DJ, and I realized he's part of the podcast that also involved Craig Calcaterra that talks about rock and roll.
So now you can have him back on the show, even though I suggested that we have him on the show. Now Calcaterra has co-signed it, so he's good.
No.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
No, I would just say that he's...
It's us messing with you for loving Craig Calcaterra.
I'm just saying it makes sense. I didn't, and a lot of that podcast is about Bob Dylan, and I'm not a Bob Dylan fan at all. So that's sort of how it started. Mistake. But it's, what'd you say?
Says it's a mistake.
It's fine. I respect him. I just don't want to listen to it.
All right, that's fine.
No, I get it. So I'm not an idiot. I mean, I know he's important. I'm just not a huge fan of listening to the music.
Just needed that acknowledgement. All right, thank you.
I thought you were saying something that had aired was a mistake.
No, he was saying it's a mistake that I'm not a big Bob Dylan fan.
There you go. The last 3 minutes, we had to delete this.
But he's a. I understand why it was an easy vibe, because that if you are a big music fan. It's a guy named, Steven Goldberg and Farron.
But it's also because Farron's really good. And he's been good for a long time. And a lot of people here in Chicago know him because he was here in Chicago for a long time. Well, that's how I know him.
For those of us who only have like 9 years to the resume, that's a good introduction.
Yeah, he nailed it yesterday. Everyone nailed it yesterday. Everyone on the show yesterday was fantastic. Emma was great doing Bear stuff yesterday.
Well, and Brian Bannister.
The Brian
awesome,
Bannister interview was top notch. Like,
yeah, I'm going to take a sports walk and listen to Brian Bannister today.
I made the suggestion yesterday, and maybe we'll have time tomorrow or Friday. The Sean McVay with Robert Mays.
Oh, that's too much brain cell. That's too many recalls.
A whole
that's,
hour.
That's
and it's amazing.
Oh, that so much info. They're like an algorithm together.
They pretty much are, and it's so good. Like it's if you like your football-y, you gonna get it.
It's not just that; like they could probably memorize entire like suites of music.
Well, that was kind of the cool thing too. Like watching them go, like watching the recall that Robert was having. He's like, "Oh yeah, so there was this play that you had against Chicago back in 2019." And McVay's like, "Yeah, that's right. They were doing blah 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 blah." And then now, blah, 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 it was sexy.
Ooh. And he gave us a great T-shirt slogan: "Exhaust all eligibles." I loved that part.
Well,
when he talked
bachelors?
About he talked about
sure.
A quarterback in a dirty pocket said if there's pressure up the middle or pressure still being able to exhaust all eligibles. Like ooh.
He also said that you should sleep. That he thinks that coaches that don't want to sleep are stupid, and he was stupid because he was one of those coaches.
Good for
him. I do think my memory works better the more sleep I've had.
Yeah, amazing. It's pretty much been proven over and over again in clinical studies, but it is
put you that can on, outsmart sleep.
So put that on your list of things to walk and listen to.
My sports walk?
Yeah, your sports walk. It's
my
gonna
sports
be,
walk is gonna be intense.
It's gonna be fantastic.
Is it a hot sports walk?
No, my sports walk is typically when something bad has happened. Oh. I've got to take a walk around the block. That is one type of sports walk. That's where the term originated from.
Oh, so like the Cubs not scoring runs when they have the bases loaded and they're down a run?
But you know it's two outs, so you kind of know what's coming, but you still need to take a little step or two. Sports walk. But then like sports walk is also my dinner break while I'm doing sports at NBC5. So then if I'm taking that sports walk, then I listen, yes.
We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Ray Diaz, Adam Studzinski, Brandon Fryer, Connor O'Donnell, all doing the things that they do.
Bears.
And that was, in a lot of ways, that Cubs game last night was entertaining, it was excruciating, and it was apt. It was just right for this team.
When you try to win games in the margins, and then one of those games presents itself where you need something, you need to string together. You get all the way to having the bases loaded. And then Craig Counsell looks at his bench and he goes, what are my choices here?
What is Miles Mastroboni doing up?
And he's like, oh, well, here's David Bodie.
We said the same stuff last year. You know that, right?
We said the same stuff last week.
Yeah, we've been saying the same stuff for the past few months.
Specifically about Mastroboni, though. And then in one situation, so it was, there was a situation where Mastroboni hit where he probably should have pinch hit Wisdom, where Mastroboni didn't come through. There was another time when Mastroboni did come through, and then there was last night.
There seems like there is an aversion to use Wisdom off the bench.
It's a very strange thing because
I thought he got it, too. I think he thought he got it.
I had the same thought, Layla, over the past handful of games.
Yep.
Like, in these situations, where is Patrick Wisdom? I know he's on the bench. I know Craig Counsell knows he's on the bench.
Last Friday, there was a perfect opportunity for
PCA
it.
PCA at bat,
yes,
right?
No,
yes.
The Mastroboni at bat.
Mastroboni at bat.
I agree with that, yeah. And it's specifically the Mastroboni-Wisdom combo where you're like, what's the bench looking like?
But that's part of the problem is that you're scraping for a run. Was it the last six games they've scored 8 total runs?
Well,
you're not going to win.
Let's also reverse this. On no logical baseball planet should you be saying to yourself, oh no, 2 singles by the opponent in a scoreless game might do us in.
Right.
Like, that's right. It. You know, it's like yes. Jason Goff always uses the argument, if you hold X player to X amount of points, then you should have won this game. I do the same thing with baseball. Like, it's a good Goff broadcast lesson. Because Jason writes a few books on that, in my opinion. And to me, it's the same way in reverse. Like, the opponent scoring 2 singles in a scoreless game should not set you back.
Yep.
That should be a performance that, once again, for example, Jameson Taillon should be proud of. He shouldn't have to have this weight on his shoulders about it.
Well, he definitely should be proud of everything that he's done so far this year. It looks like Dan's going to win our bet. But that's part of the issue, too. The Cubs pitching has been really strong. And you have these performances when you go out there and you see Shota is holding people down and Taillon is holding people down. And even your bullpen with Assad not going deep into the game held people down. And the problem continues to be you don't score runs. So then it becomes, all right, well, you got the manager that was supposed to help you win the games in the margin. And I don't know if we've paid close enough attention. Because we all like Craig Counsell too. Mm-hmm. And we all think that he's really smart. But have we not done a good job of actually spotlighting the things that we were just talking about and saying, aren't these the things that the best manager in the game or the highest paid manager in the game is supposed to have a better grasp on of when to push the button on some of those choices? And they're not great choices. And I'm going to give Craig that. He doesn't have a lot of great choices, but isn't he supposed to be the guy that pushes the buttons and pushes the right buttons at the right time?
I want more chicken salad and less chicken crap. And
you want egg salad.
Well, that's different.
Yeah.
I always want egg salad.
That messed me up because he was...
But that's not the metaphor. You don't say it because there's no egg crap you can make egg salad out of. So my
all true
belief is that if you chose this life, like that's the thing about last night's outcome. You chose this.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you wanted. This is what you and the pitching was fine. The bullpen's been great. The bullpen's been terrific. Brilliant since June. And you can't hit the ball out of the ballpark. And you choose to make your life difficult. And you want to bitch about umpires. And you want to, that's a terrible call. Or this should have been a strikeout. Or they didn't go around. But it shouldn't be about that. You don't have to worry about it.
A couple things. Number one, whether or not you like it, you buy yourself a strike zone as a hitter. And when you're not a good offensive team, you're not buying yourself the benefit of the doubt. You don't earn it. You know, that's it. Like, you talk about managers saying that players increase their strike zones all the time. Because they're used to not seeing you hit.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, that's part of the human aspect of this. The other piece, there are egregious examples. There is no doubt about that. But when you look at it as a whole, unfortunately, that's part of the problem is there are steps that you take in advance to being able to not be in those positions. And they just don't have enough of that. This is not a new conversation. And that's why I said at the beginning of this series, all right, you want to win your division. Go try to win your division against the best team in your division. And at that point, their record in the NL Central was 12-21. And you know what the Brewers' record was to start the series in the division? 21-12.
Well, that's why I got mad yesterday listening to Jed talk about, well, we just keep catching all of these teams in our division at the wrong time. It's been, what, 75% of a season or 70% of a season at this point? Like, that's not an excuse. Like, that's it really, like, rings hollow when you have that type of stuff. There was, like, one good thing yesterday, and it's something to keep a watch on going forward. And our guy Coom actually said this. I was listening while the rain delay was going on, and then I just decided I was going to listen to the radio call for a couple innings. Him talking about he has been avid. Hey, Dansby, you know how you could get yourself back right is start going to right field. And he did that last night. Two hits for Dansby Swanson last night. Also two strikeouts because he's still having a hard time covering the fastball. But if you were hoping for any sort of offensive production, maybe that's the look at this and just put a pin in yesterday's game and say, all right, is this the beginning of him going on a streak where he, you know, slashes, you know, 300, 450, 450.
Am I not the only one, though, who saw the way he runs through first base and looked at his knees?
Well, it's not just you. It's John Lester. It's Dan. It's me. Like, I think
I noticed it in particular yesterday.
I think we all are going, is there something going on with this guy that when we get to November, we'll get a message from the Cubs saying Dansby Swanson went and had his knee cleaned out. You know, it looks that way.
Today is the Cubs-Brewers series finale from Wrigley Field. Pre-game coverage starts at 12:45, first pitch 1:20 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. We mentioned Jameson Taillon, his performance, and the way he's pitched of late that has really been terrific. But what to do now? It is a spy novel we call The Tyone Conundrum, and we'll talk about it next on Bernstein and Holmes with Layla Rahimi here today on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
After the first inning, maybe took him a couple pitches to kind of get in a rhythm, and then he was just in a great rhythm and had everything working, throwing for strikes, and kind of a what we've seen from Jamin, just really efficient, multiple pitches for strikes, making hitters responsible and being ahead in the count a lot.
Okay, so now what? Obviously, it is a must win. Today, considering what we said about this series, that I'm going to put the brooms back because there's nothing, they can't really do anything now. And
who let the brooms out?
I had them out.
Why do I hate it so much?
They're sad. The brooms are sad, and they're going back.
It's not their fault.
No, they didn't do anything wrong.
They did. I think the rain kind of maybe messed up the brooms. I texted Parkins yesterday. I was like, hey, did it rain at all while you guys were at Wrigley? And he's like, no, didn't rain. As soon as I got in my car, then it started to pour.
We got lucky.
It's when I, hit the audio thing, that's what it does for Parkins' text. It's really amazing. This technology is out of control.
It speaks as Parkins?
Yeah.
That's great.
It's
guys, we should create an app that has like the narrative of Danny Parkins, like Waze. If you want Waze, it's the Parkins narrative.
We did that. We recorded stuff here for Waze.
Get off DuSable Lakeshore Drive, south.
Make a left again. Turn into this guy's living room because it's Waze.
I did mine. I was like, turn left, dumbass. So it was fun. And then I didn't want to use it because I didn't want to have myself yelling at myself in my car.
Dude, Waze is chaos.
Well, we should let Danny do that because they, for some reason, didn't let him do his own book.
Which is, that is unacceptable.
That's crazy to me.
Danny has a great broadcast voice.
He's a broadcaster.
Yeah. He's a professional broadcaster. Like, nah, you're not reading your book. Okay.
Can read. It sound good. Went to Syracuse.
Well, I mean, if you could get like Morgan Freeman or Liev Schreiber. Or
I don't think they're reading it.
Somebody.
Oh, we have to tell Layla. Sam Elliott. She wasn't here yesterday.
Yes.
Each of us is responsible for 10 possible things that we'll see on Hard Knocks.
Bingo card. We're going to submit. We're all going to submit 10.
Oh, we're doing it.
Oh, yeah, we're doing it. But we're going to submit 10, and then we'll negotiate. We'll haggle over what's where.
Because we probably have some redundancy or something like that. So we figure if all 5 of us do 10, then we can come up with a good 24, submit that, hand it over to the digital people, get an actual card, and then listeners could use it.
And your deadline is August 4th.
August
4th. There will be no extensions.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. That's enough time. Has anybody suggested the bingo spot 069?
Nice.
Well, it's going to be B-E-A-R-S.
It's going to be
Bears.
I don't care.
Okay, we can still have 069.
I don't care.
If you want it, we can put it
on. I didn't kill my wife.
I don't care.
I don't care.
I will also submit switching the samples. Do we think that will be on the Hard Knocks?
Will the cameras catch Grody just being in mid Harrison Ford impersonation?
Ooh.
Worth putting on.
All right, I have some ideas.
See, you only need 10.
I had to make a stupid joke, though, because, it's that type of day.
So Jameson Taillon is at 1.6 F war. as of today. And I don't know if it's updated from last night, but that
may
would
not
be.
Yeah, usually
they switch the samples.
So maybe maybe higher than that. But he's my bet was he'd finish the season with 2 WAR or higher. And he's certainly on track, I believe, to just about get there, probably surpass it.
Yeah, I think he's going to go over that. He's been really good.
But will he be a Cub?
This is a question. Is the bet nullified if he doesn't finish on the Cubs?
No, the bet is the bet. Because that's a fairly independent
your stats, stat. Your stats follow you. They just get like subdivided if you go to a different league. So.
Well, I know, but the bet was he would have 2 WARs, and then he's on the Cubs.
No, I will pay off the bet no matter where Jameson Taillon is pitching.
It was only a beer we bet, right?
That was $1.
A nice crisp dollar.
$1, okay, yeah. All of his effort for $1. Okay, so here's the thing, though, is I've said this. I think, unfortunately, Jameson Taillon is
I want the Bills crisp.
Is the I'll type of player they might You're have to trade.
You're getting the bill.
Huh?
You're getting the bill.
Okay, well, then I don't care. I don't care if it's all crumply and stuck in your front pocket.
It hasn't happened yet.
$1.
No, we had to go through this with the Marcette thing, too, because I wanted crisp bills for that.
Yeah, that was more than $1.
I probably shorted myself. I should have asked for a much longer odds.
You should have.
The fact that people were cheering for it, even Bears fans are like, I want the Bears to win, but I want this stupid thing.
Because that was such a stupid game. And then they were starting Tyson Bagent.
Against
the worst
Smith
team
Marcette.
In the league.
Like, I mean, come on.
They on receiver, they went through that game. Like, they talked about that game. And, like, Justin Jefferson's on the sidelines. Like, I can't believe like this game is gone like this.
Well, wait, the Panthers game?
Not the Panthers. The dumb Vikings game. The not Vikings the dumb game. Panthers
game. Oh, yeah, the dumb
game.
Vikings, the dumb Vikings game. That was also very dumb.
Yes. Was it 3-0 in the fourth quarter or something like that? It's like, what?
Know. It was just bad.
Bad.
So do you move Taillon? And what does it say if you do based on the signing and what the signing said about where you thought you were as a team?
I don't think that's it. When I thought about this, he was the first name, unfortunately, and I know he's, you know, really wanting to be a part of Chicago. Like, his fiance, now wife, is from here. She's from the suburbs, and I know he committed. He was all in, and he wants to be here. You can tell he's all in. By the way, he's playing, too, but that deal is a bargain for another team who wants to contend for a couple of years based on his production.
So let's call it $40 million. Does that sound right? The rest of this season plus 34 and 34. I mean, 17 and 17. So let's say it's 2.5 years or 2.25 years for $40 million of quality starts. That's an excellent deal.
It's not just that. It's also, is this deal, unfortunately, expensive for the Cubs moving forward based on their budget?
Well, I'm less concerned about their budget.
Well,
but it's a real constraint if, in fact, there's some kind of internal secret hard cap.
Is there a young pitcher that they feel like is ready to take the workload of Jameson Taillon that would save them money in the rotation so that they could go and get someone with that money,
or just spend more money?
Yes, that's that's been my whole thing. Yes. Is you're the Cubs, spend the money.
Narrator, they didn't do.
They did not spend the money.
Let's hear what Jameson Taillon himself said about how he felt when he signed and what the future may hold.
Free agency is kind of a two-way street. Like, the team commits to you and they pay you handsomely and pay you money, and then you do your homework as a player and you grind to make it to free agency, and it's a big honor to even get there and have teams interested in you. And then, you know, you get to vet teams and think about cities and where you want to live and maybe buy a house. So there's a lot that goes into it, and it's a two-way commitment. It's kind of like a little mini marriage. I've had a great time here. I love showing up here every day. It's a great group of guys. I think we've said it a lot. Like, I feel like we should be better than we are. But to this point, we just haven't gotten it done, and results speak louder than, you know, any words we can say here. So, I would love to stay here. Obviously, I chose coming to Chicago and being a Cub. So that's where I'm at.
Straight up. That's he knows enough to know it's out of his control. But when you make those life decisions, you know, this isn't fantasy sports. These are people. When you talk about building or buying a house and where your kids go to school and all that stuff, that sure, they're paid handsomely to defray some of these inconveniences, but these are, they think about these things no matter what's going on.
It's a difficult situation. He's the best example because he's done his job. He was asked to perform well, and he's worked on that intently with the Cubs development that was supposed to be a real asset for this team. And then bought in, as we said, has more ties than just playing here to the city and to the area around it. And yet is unfortunately possibly being traded because the rest of the team hasn't performed up to par.
And this was Tommy Hottovy, the Cubs pitching coach, this morning with Mully and Haw, talking about Tyone's ability to block out all of this extraneous noise.
You know, I think with Jameson, he's no stranger to being around teams that have talked about trades and the future and what they're trying to do. And I think that's probably one of the most impressive things about what Jameson was able to do last night was to block out a lot of the noise. He's a human being. He, you know, reads what is being said and what's been talked about. And obviously he has his, if he has his say, you know, he loves being here and wants to be a Cub for a long time. And, but you know, I think to be able to take all that and then still go do your job, which is just to go out, compete, give your team a chance to win a ball game. Like, he did a fantastic job last night. That's a more of a testament to the person, to the work ethic, to like who Jameson is versus even his stuff in general. And, you know, it was fun to see. And again, he's going to come into work today and prep for his next start and be ready to go. And, you know, we'll worry about the other stuff when and if it happens. But I think for Jameson right now, like he's feeling great. He's in a great place, as you guys can see. And we just need to keep rolling with that.
And when we talk MLB trade deadline on The Score, our coverage is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
What if we look at this from Jed Hoyer's perspective? If we take what he said on Monday as being their truth, that they believe that they are a team that's going to contend in 2025, that they are not going to make any moves that are going to put them in a bad position in 2025, doesn't it make sense to then keep Jameson Tyone? Because
sure.
It holds true for the Cubs too, that $17 million per year for a number three starter is a great deal that you have. So if you're thinking that you're going to compete, maybe the we're the Cubs, we're going to spend like the Cubs thing happens this offseason.
Well, and they have spent, I mean, let's call it what it is. They're eighth in baseball in spending. You know, that payroll is over $236 million. It's just, unfortunately, some of the higher dollar people have not performed well.
Well, it's the higher dollar people haven't performed well and that they seem like hesitant to go into the CBT.
Yeah.
That's the type of spending that we're talking about. We're not talking about, well, they have a high payroll. It's your willingness to take on the tax to try and win a championship. So if you're trying to look at it from their perspective, Tyone in a Cubs uniform next year would kind of go to plan, right? Wouldn't that make sense?
I think he's an absolute fit for this team. I just think he's one of those players where you have put yourself in a bad position because of how this team was constructed and what has resulted. And you're going to have to make some tough decisions on good players in order to help your team moving forward. And that good player has to have some sort of value. You know, and I think that's where he fits into this, unfortunately. We've seen it. You know, we've seen good teams trade maybe the only trade pieces they had sometimes in order to try to build and move up. Obviously, me covering the Astros for as long as I did colors my thought process with this, where there were definitely times where I was asking Jeff Luhnow, why? Like, why? That's the one dude. And he's like, so I can get the infield I wanted. And then that didn't work. And then he traded that guy so he can get another infield he wanted. Doesn't always work out that way. But those are the decisions. You have to be ruthless sometimes against yourself.
I'm not sure if the Cubs have the stomach for that.
The stomach to trade him?
No, to be ruthless against themselves.
Ah.
As much as they say.
Jed's predecessor did see Nomar Garciaparra.
Well, Jed's predecessor also said that they would begin meetings by say, what don't we know? What don't we know? And what are we missing? And they remember they talked about the winner's trap. That they always talked about that after they won, that a more contemplative Theo Epstein was really honest about that, about making presumptions based on what had happened and how they had won when other teams were out innovating them and doing things differently.
I think that they're stuck in that without the winning, Dan.
And see, this is what I was. That's where I was going with this. That maybe there's that we need a new term where. They weren't in the winner's trap. They were in the
loyalty,
efficiency, relationships, sort of comfort trap.
I think you're going to have loyalty to certain players. It's inevitable.
The McKenzie trap.
Ooh, that's loaded. But yeah, I mean, there's something. Although even the as much as we make fun of the McKenzie guys for being jerks and some, at least yeah, they're
is there
heartless.
Is there any human element there?
But at least some of those decisions are not about people and loyalty and human beings. And sometimes you get caught being too nice.
But teams, here's the thing though: is the flip side is teams have been criticized for that by players, and you know what happens? That becomes a variable, and then free agents don't want to play there. Like, that's it. Like, you can take that out and put it in a vacuum, but when people are still the element, A, your variables aren't controlled for it because they say things affect them, and then B, it affects the outcome because those people have reason and they supersede the number.
I like the texture says the spreadsheet trap.
I mean, people do that all the time. They get mad when teams do pay players as if it's their money.
The margins trap.
Like, I'm not into that. You do that every day at your job. This isn't real. Have fun with us in the not real.
How about we change the backdrop a little bit? You want to talk some Bears?
Yes.
Bears.
There's been a guy on the defensive side that people have been talking about. And the idea of best shape in my life is relevant for this player. We'll explain why next here on The Score.
The Bears.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
I focus. The focus. I mean, when Dexter comes on the practice field every day, when he comes into the meeting, for a young player, he's got blinders on.
That's Bears defensive coordinator Eric Washington. He's said to be tough and militaristic. Okay? We don't know if he's good at his job yet. Bears training camp coverage is presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Wait, is there a coordinator that you actually have ever had proven?
Well, Vic Fangio is an example of somebody who everybody knew he was really good at his job. And he was a longtime guy who was, and they hired him and he was great at his job.
Okay.
Let me tell you this about Eric Washington. We know he's good at developing defensive linemen. There's at least one good thing he does.
Yeah.
That is true.
Well, that's on the res. Then develop this guy, because when you start looking at individual players whose range of performance outcomes can help define success or failure this season, Jervon Dexter Sr. is one of them.
He needs to be a factor. I think that he's got some positional flexibility that I'm hoping that the Bears utilize because of his time working in a two-gap system. And now he's apparently doing better with that. So he moved from a two-gap to a one-gap. It's a little bit different. It's less read and react. It's get up the field when you're playing in a one-gap system.
Let's go back and explain that real quickly, just whiteboard that, because I know as we're going to be doing football, we're going to be talking about a lot of things. A two-gap is the difference between a one-gap system and a two-gap system. In a two-gap, you're lined up over a person. You are nose-to-nose over a person, and then you are generally taking up space to allow the linebackers behind you to flow into the play. And sometimes you're moving to this shoulder and sometimes you're moving to that shoulder. In a one gap system, it is you line up in between two players and your whole job is to explode up the field through that gap and you stop the run on your way to the quarterback.
Correct. So Javon Dexter Sr., he has put himself in another reason why I think some positional versatility. He has come into camp in the best shape of his life. And he explained to everyone yesterday how he got in such great shape.
Did you train for that in the offseason?
I try to get in marathon shape and running with the ends. They run a little longer with less time. So I felt like my body was ready to do that. So
what does training look like to get into marathon shape?
Running, hills, track. It's something called like a strongman workout. That's for bigger men. All those things, eating right, eating habits.
How did you finish with that group? Were you at the front of it?
Yeah, I was in the front of the pack, right with the group. So yeah.
It's the first time you've done that in an off season.
Correct. Yeah, it was.
Why did you want to do that? Why did you want to push yourself that way?
Just because, man, I've noticed that. The good ones can do it one or two plays, but the ones that go down as great ones are consistent in being able to play one through fourth quarter. So that's why.
Make changes to your diet too?
I did, yeah.
What did you do?
I leaned out some things. I took out some things. I took out like late night snacks. So for example, if there was something that I usually have later at the night while I'm rounding up the bed, I would probably cut it out or do something that was a little healthier for me.
What was the toughest thing to cut back on and take out?
I would say that late night snack, man. It's different things that I would eat, and I just like, man, I'm like, one honey bun won't hurt me, and right. So yeah, just I cut that out, and now I feel a lot better.
Yeah, but honey buns are good.
Also, as somebody who works at night, I feel you, Javon Dexter. I understand that struggle.
Hey, Kendall Gill is the most fit person that we know, and even he hears the call of the Texas bear claw thing.
Oh, the Big Texas.
Yeah.
Texas cinnamon roll.
Now, yeah. I will say this.
I don't even mess with that.
This is why people like Kendall work out so hard. People like why I work out. So you can do that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I always say the objective is to lose weight, not your mind, right? Have it when you need it. But for Javon Dexter, maybe Senior. He was having more than one.
The Big Texas cinnamon roll, man. And I don't have the ingredients in front of me, but that's the vending machine one.
I miss when we had the vending machine around the corner.
Vending machine.
And I really do. It was right there.
But isn't that the one that's like all trans fat? It's like it's like a palm oil bomb.
Why are you ruining this for all of us?
No, that's what makes it good. Awesome.
The best was when high gluten flour was the number one ingredient in something I got once.
Well, that's pizza dough.
High gluten. I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah. The best pizza dough should be high gluten flour. Always. Because that's how you get, that's the stretchy. That's when you're, you know, you're spinning the pizza. It's the high gluten that does that.
I do think that you can't tell me somebody in his position that isn't going to help, right? Like, that's absolutely going to help.
You would think that are you getting more explosion? Like, I don't care about whether a guy can run track. I care, can you win in 2 yards? Because if you can, great.
But also his height. Like, when you're that tall, yeah, it's great. But it also means you might move a little slower because you're that tall.
That's why I think he might be better on the outside.
He may disagree because he thinks he's a more refined three technique now than ever.
Being leaner helps me get off the ball faster. Being leaner helps me penetrate faster. So a lot of those things that now, like you said, the three technique role, I can do a little easier because I'm able to. My body is allowing me to do
it. Feeling the changes. Do you feel the changes when you're getting off the ball now?
Sure, 100%. Yeah.
Jervon, your transition from like a two gapper to a one gapper, does that feel like it's in the past?
Yeah, that's way. Yeah, that was.
So it's like no habits or hurdles you
got? No.
What's the toughest thing that you had to adjust to going from that two gap system to the penetrating system? And now that you know where you need to go, how much more do you think you could accomplish this season?
I would say the biggest thing for me was the feeling of it. Like in college, like you said, I played that two gap system, so we would pad back. And then now when they're telling you, all right, just go, I'm like, damn, am I doing it right? So now when I know what it feels to, you know what I'm saying, just get vertical and penetrate and disrupt. So
what would that do for you now, having that feeling, understanding the feel coming into this season?
Words can't even describe it, man, because like I say, that's my body type, my style of play was a penetrator, a disruptor, and I was in a defense that I couldn't do that. So I kind of, you know what I'm saying, had chains on, and now they're off. So.
I hope that's the case. And the other thing is that, And I imagine that this is something that they've gone over. Obviously, you want the three technique to get to the quarterback. Like, that's one of the things you want to do. Because of his particular body type, I hope he remembers sometimes you're going to lose. And when you can't get there, get those arms up.
He talked about that yesterday, about how he was doing that more. He knocked a pass down in practice over the weekend.
Yeah, I think Eberflus was making fun of him, though, because he said he's a big man. I think it hit him in the head or it hit him in the shoulder.
No, he said it hit him in his hands.
Okay, because the coach is like, I don't know. But my point was, I don't care.
I don't care either.
I don't. I mean, if
he's there, he's there.
That's your if you
got to make the quarterback throw around that.
Do you remember
also,
the game?
You know, the Bears asked him to be somebody who he hasn't been. Like, we got to throw that out there in all of this.
Well, I mean, that's what we've been talking about.
Like, I know, but they blatantly asked somebody to be someone who he hasn't been because they thought, based on his physical traits, that he can be that person.
You remember the game that Eric Kramer had against the Arizona Cardinals where he got batted down in the game like six times?
Yes.
And that's when it was explained to me. That's when after, I'm like, what the hell's going on out there? And they say, well, you know, a defensive line, we were blocking him. We had him blocked, but they had a count in their head and they knew.
The ball was coming
they
out.
They knew. And so when the ball was coming out and they were all tall guys, it was like Eric Swan and a bunch of other tall guys. And they said, it's all about the timing. You just have to have the internal clock of try to win, try to win, try to win, and then get big. And it worked for them. So that's how
actually
I
learned. Feels pretty good.
But the stretch?
Yeah.
Stretch.
Big stretch.
Stretch. Get on back there. Mike Florio joins us next on The Score.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
The focus. I mean, when Dexter comes on the practice field every day, when he comes into the meeting, for a young player, he's got blinders on.
That's Bears defensive coordinator Eric Washington. He's said to be tough and militaristic. Okay? We don't know if he's good at his job yet. Bears training camp coverage is presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Wait, is there a coordinator that you actually have ever had proven?
Well, Vic Fangio is an example of somebody who everybody knew he was really good at his job. And he was a longtime guy who was, and they hired him and he was great at his job.
Okay.
Let me tell you this about Eric Washington. We know he's good at developing defensive linemen. There's at least one good thing he does.
Yeah.
That is true.
Well,
that's
then develop this guy, because when you start looking at individual players whose range of performance outcomes can help define success or failure this season, Jervon Dexter Sr. is one of them.
He needs to be a factor. I think that he's got some positional flexibility that I'm hoping that the Bears utilize. Because of his time working in a two-gap system, and now he's apparently doing better with that. So he moved from a two-gap to a one-gap. It's a little bit different. It's less read and react. It's get up the field. When you're playing in a one-gap system.
Let's go back and explain that real quickly, just whiteboard that, because I know as we're going to be doing football, we're going to be talking about a lot of things. A two-gap is the difference between a one-gap system and a two-gap system. In a two-gap, you're lined up over a person. You are nose-to-nose over a person, and then you are generally taking up space to allow the linebackers behind you to flow into the play. And sometimes you're moving to this shoulder, and sometimes you're moving to that shoulder. In a one-gap system, it is you line up in between two players, and your whole job is to explode up the field through that gap, and you stop the run on your way to the quarterback.
Correct. So Javon Dexter Sr., he has put himself in another reason why I think some positional versatility. He has come into camp in the best shape of his life. And he explained to everyone yesterday how he got in such great shape.
Did you train for that in the offseason?
I just train. I try to get in marathon shape and running with the ends. They run a little longer with less time. So I felt like my body was ready to do that. So
What does training look like to get into marathon shape?
Running, hills, track. It's something called like a strongman workout. That's for bigger men. All those things, eating right, eating habits.
How did you finish with that group? Were you at the front of it?
Yeah, I was in the front of the pack, right with the group. So yeah.
It's the first time you've done that in an off season.
Correct. Yeah, it was.
Why did you want to do that? Why did you want to push yourself that way?
Just because, man, I've noticed that the good ones can do it one or two plays, but the ones that end up that go down as great ones are consistent in being able to play one through fourth quarter. So that's why.
Make changes to your diet too?
I did, yeah.
What did you do?
I leaned out some things. I took out some things. I took out like late night snacks. So, for example, if there was something that I usually have later at the night while I'm running up to bed, I would probably cut it out or do something that was a little healthier for me.
What was the toughest thing to cut back on and take out?
I would say that late night snack, man. It's different things that I would eat, and I just like, man, I'm like, one honey bun won't hurt me, and right. So yeah, just I cut that out, and now I feel a lot better.
Yeah, but honey buns are good.
Also, as somebody who works at night, I feel you, Javon Dexter. I understand that struggle.
Hey, Kendall Gill is the most fit person that we know, and even he hears the call of the. Of the Texas bear claw thing.
Oh, the Big Texas.
Yeah.
Texas cinnamon roll.
Now, yeah. I will say this.
I don't even mess with that.
This is why people like Kendall work out so hard. People like why I work out. So you can do that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I always say the objective is to lose weight, not your mind, right? Have it when you need it. But for Javon Dexter, maybe Senior. He was having more than one.
The Big Texas cinnamon roll, man. And I don't have the ingredients in front of me, but that's the vending machine one.
I miss when we had the vending machine around the corner.
Vending machine.
And I really do. It was right there.
But isn't that the one that's like all trans fat? It's like it's like a palm oil bomb.
Why are you ruining this for all of us?
No, but that's what makes it good. Awesome.
The best was when high gluten flour was the number one ingredient in something I got once.
Well, that's pizza dough.
High gluten. I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah, the best pizza dough should be high gluten flour. Always. That's how you get, that's the stretchy. That's when you're, you know, you're spinning the pizza. It's the high gluten that does that.
No doubt. I do think that you can't tell me somebody in his position that isn't going to help, right? Like, that's absolutely going to help.
You would think that are you getting more explosion? Like, I don't care about whether a guy can run track. I care, can you win in 2 yards?
Because
if you can, great.
But also his height. Like, when you're that tall, yeah, it's great. But it also means you might move a little slower because you're that tall.
That's why I think he might be better on the outside.
Well, he may disagree because he thinks he's a more refined three technique now than ever.
Being leaner helps me get off the ball faster. Being leaner helps me penetrate faster. So a lot of those things that now, like you said, the three technique role, I can do a little easier because I'm able to. My body is allowing me to do.
You talked about the feeling the changes. Do you feel the changes when you're getting off the ball now?
Sure, 100%. Yeah.
Jervon, your transition from like a two gapper to a one gapper, does that feel like it's in the past?
Yeah, that's way. Yeah, that was.
So there's like no habits or hurdles you
can. No.
What's the toughest thing that you had to adjust to going from that two gap system to the penetrating system? And now that you know where you need to go, how much more do you think you could accomplish this season?
I would say the biggest thing for me was the feeling of it. Like in college, like you said, I played that two gap system, so we would pad back. And then now when they're telling you, all right, just go, I'm like, damn, am I doing it right? So now when I know what it feels to, you know what I'm saying, just get vertical and penetrate and disrupt. So
what would that do for you now, having that feeling, understanding the feel coming into this season?
Words can't even describe it, man, because like I say, that's my body type, my style of play was a penetrator, a disruptor, and I was in a defense that I couldn't do that. So I kind of, you know what I'm saying, had chains on, and now they're off.
I hope that that's the case. And the other thing is that, And I imagine that this is something that they've gone over. Obviously, you want the three technique to get to the quarterback. Like, that's one of the things you want to do. Because of his particular body type, I hope he remembers sometimes you're going to lose. And when you can't get there, get those arms up.
He talked about that yesterday, about how he was doing that more. He knocked a pass down in practice over the weekend.
Yeah, I think Eberflus was making fun of him, though, because he said he's a big man. I think it hit him in the head or it hit him in the shoulder.
No, he said it hit him in his hands.
Okay, because the coach is like, I don't know. But my point was, I don't care.
I don't care either.
I don't. I mean,
he's there.
That's your if you
got to make the quarterback throw around that.
Do you but remember
also,
the game?
You know, the Bears asked him to be somebody who he hasn't been. Like, we got to throw that out there in all of this.
Well, I mean, that's what we've been talking about.
Like, I know, but they blatantly asked somebody to be someone who he hasn't been because they thought, based on his physical traits, that he can be that person.
You remember the game that Eric Kramer had against the Arizona Cardinals where he got batted down in the game like six times?
Yes.
And that's when it was explained to me. That's when after the game, I'm like, what the hell's going on out there? And they say, well, you know, a defensive line, we were blocking them. We had them blocked, but they had a count in their head and they knew.
The ball was coming
they
out.
They knew. And so when the Hands ball was up. Coming out and they were all tall guys, it was like Eric Swan and a bunch of other tall guys. And they said, it's all about the timing. You just have to have the internal clock of try to win, try to win, try to win, and then get big. And it worked for them, so that's how I
feels
about
pretty
it.
Good.
But the stretch,
yeah,
stretch,
big stretch.
Get on back there. Mike Florio joins us next on The Score.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.